Hello and welcome to the Raw podcast brought to you by the Sunderland Echo. We're back for another preview podcast ahead of Sunderland's championship match against Norwich City at Carrow Road. So joining myself, Joe Nicholson, we are joined by Norwich writer Connor Southwell from the Pink Un. Connor, thanks a lot for joining us. And just looking at the results, I imagine it's been a bit easier to write about Norwich in recent weeks.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe. I think that's fair to say. It's been a lot more pleasurable than it was for the months before Christmas, I would say. And yeah, they're in a real nice position at the moment, which is nice. So certainly from this end, long may it continue.
Yeah, just looking at the table, Norwich up to seventh in the Championship, just 3 points off the playoffs. Their recent results, they've had 3 wins and 2 draws in their last five. And the last time Sunderland fans would have seen Norwich against Sunderland was back in October, a game which Sunderland won 3-1 at the Stadium of Light. Norwich were in a poor run of form at that stage, and there seemed to be some serious questions about whether David Wagner would keep his job there. And they've obviously stuck with him. So are you able to kind of tell us how the kind of last few months have played out with Wagner still there?
Yeah, and to be honest, those questions, even in the really good runs this season, have still existed around David Wagner. It's been really difficult for him to shift. Norwich beat Watford a couple of weeks ago at home 4-2, and some of his substitutions while Norwich were 2-1 up in that game were booed, and there was some chance of you don't know what you're doing. So, and he had a little pop back after the game as well, which I think a few people have seen. The Sunderland game was I felt. At that stage, watching him in his post-match, you know, we get to watch managers post-match, and you can often tell sort of from body language and from the way they speak and things they say sometimes. And I felt, to be completely honest, that he felt at the Stadium of Light that was the end of the road for him. From the way he was speaking, from the way he delivered some of his messages, from his tone, from his demeanor and his body language. And I think I probably left the Stadium of Light that night thinking, this is it. This is probably the last time that, you know, we're going to see him. He was in charge for the game following that, which was Blackburn Rovers at home. Norwich City were resoundingly beaten 3-1 on that occasion. They were woeful. And if Sunderland didn't feel like the end point, then that definitely did. But he was helped a little bit because Norwich had a change in sporting director. So around that period, Stuart Webber, who was due to leave later in November, accelerated his departure. Ben Napper came in a little bit earlier from Arsenal. And then they won away at Cardiff, and that led to an international break, where again, I think that maybe the common feeling was, because of all the movements that had happened and accelerations of people's arrivals and whatnot, that he was going to lose his job. But since that point, I think they've only lost 4 games, and they've really been on kind of a problem-solving journey, I would say. They were too open in transition, as you guys would have seen at the Stadium of Light, too easy to play against, essentially. And I think as a coaching team and as a playing staff, they sat down in that November international break and said, we've got to change. We've got to change what we are and what we're trying to do. They made themselves more defensively solid, and they went from a stage of conceding 2 goals a game, as they were on average, to half in that. They conceding and are roughly around that sort of mark now, conceding 1 a game. And in really subtle tweaks in terms of just, you know, one fullback attacking instead of two all the time, and having a number six that sits a little bit more than they were doing. So it made themselves a little bit tougher to beat. And then they got to a stage in January where they weren't scoring enough goals, and they'd maybe tipped too far the other way. So they had to kind of readdress that balance, which was helped partly by Josh Sargent returning and the impact that he's had on their season. And in the last few weeks, up to probably Blackburn, really, it felt like they had a really nice balance about them and kind of hit that sweet spot between looking maybe not solid completely, but definitely looking better defensively than they had, but also combining that with some real attacking verve. So, it feels like it's been about 3 seasons in one. I'm sure it feels about 7 for you guys up there. They're in a really good run of form at the moment, particularly at Carrow Road, where they're 10 unbeaten. They haven't actually lost there since that Blackburn game. So, they're in a really good way. They've got a bit of a swagger about them at the moment.
What's the view about Wagner now with the fan base? You mentioned there they had a bit of criticism, and as Sunderland fans will know with Michael Beale, if a fan base aren't happy with the manager, it's very difficult for him to turn that around. So have kind of some Norwich fans been turned, or is there still kind of questions on Wagner and what will be the expectations this season?
I think, and you got this a little bit after Saturday, and I'm sure you guys have got it with, or had it with Mick Beale as well. You can win a couple of games, but lose one. And when you lose that one, or Norwich don't pick up 3 points in one, as they didn't at the weekend against Blackburn, you begin to hear these kind of arguments again for why he's not the right person, and that sort of fan disquiet. And that's something that he's had to contest with all through the season. I think it's very difficult. He went on a run of one win in 11 at the back end of last season. Then it was 7 defeats in 9 in that sort of autumn period where Norwich came to the Stadium of Light. A lot of people have made their mind up on him, really. And as you said, football fans usually aren't for turning when they've made their mind up on someone. And I would say, even though, and maybe the best assessment of how he's done is that some of that noise has been quieter in recent weeks. It's not, and has never really this season, fully gone away. And that's the problem that he's got. I think it feels like after everything came to a head against Watford a couple of weeks ago, there's been a little bit of a truce now for the final 12 games to try and push the team over the line into the top six. But yeah, I can guarantee you a couple of results in the negative column, and we'll be back in that place talking about David Wagner's future again, I'd imagine.
Mm. You mentioned some of the things there that he changed tactically, but how will they set up against Sunderland at Carrow Road on Saturday? As you mentioned there, their home form is a lot better than their away form. Just having a quick look now at home, Norwich won 11, drawn 2, lost 4 this season. Away, won 4, drawn 5 and lost 8. So how will they set up against Sunderland, and what's been the difference between that home and away form?
Yeah, I think that's a question that a lot of people have been sort of scratching their heads and asking this week, actually, because 4 wins on the road for a team that is trying to get in the playoffs. I mean, it's clearly the Achilles heel for them, really. If you look at the pure numbers on it, they are a top six championship side at home and basically a bottom six championship side away. And it's really hard to understand why that is the case. And in terms of how they'll set up, they're pretty consistent. It'll be a sort of a 4-2-2-2 sort of without the ball and more of a free diamond free with it. They build up in that kind of way, and they are, you know, they're quite attractive. I wouldn't say it's necessarily massively innovative what they try and do. They try and essentially work an opening on either flank and then try with a massive diagonal to work a crossing opportunity and play off that. So if you can halt Norwich in those areas, then I think there is success to be had for you, as Blackburn found, actually. I really don't know. And it's funny because there's been a lot of debate around sort of Norwich fans and whether they've been too negative or too entitled at home. And actually, you look at their home record and it's been very, very good. So that doesn't necessarily stack up with some of the discourse that's been around. So, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what it is. But obviously, the away form issue does put a lot of pressure on your home form. And that means essentially that Norwich, with 6 home games and 6 away games left, are basically going to have to win all their home games if they want to keep at this kind of 2 points a game rate, which is going to be needed to get them in the top six. So there's a lot of pressure on them. Wagner is pretty consistent in the way that they built in the way that they play. And I think, to be fair, in the last few weeks, they've seen a little bit more success and look a little bit more comfortable playing the way that he wants them to. And that's, you know, I know in when they came to the Stadium of Light in October, as you mentioned, they had a lot of injuries and they had a lot of people out. They've got some key personnel back now. And I think what we are seeing with this Norwich side is that they've got a very good starting side. Their depth is a little bit of an issue. And I think when they're called upon, you know, even from the bench, I think you can see a deterioration in their performance levels. So that's kind of what I would say. And yeah, as for on the road, your guess is as good as mine, really.
Yeah. Well, it's not just Norwich that have got a much better home record than away. Sunderland are pretty similar, actually. Only won 4 games away from home this season out of 17. Their home form a lot better, which is interesting because last season Sunderland were very good away from home, particularly at the end of the season.
They did go same with Norwich. It was almost Angus Gunn mentioned it at the weekend. It was almost this time last year, as you said, it was their away form really that was keeping them in touch with the playoffs. This year it's their home form. So it's really bizarre because, you know, we think about it, it's the same pitch, it's the same laws. They're playing with this, I know it's a different ball, but it's a kind of a league wide ball. So there shouldn't really be anything that makes that so drastic, but we see it in teams so commonly.
Yeah, they said their Sunderland got that win at Norwich end of last season. I think it was around March time. They got a 1-0 win with Abdullabar scoring the only goal of the game. That was kind of a platform which kind of allowed Sunderland to kick on and then reach the playoffs towards the end of last season. But you mentioned injuries there, and one player that didn't play in the game back in October was Josh Sharden, who you mentioned as well. Just looking at his stats, so very impressive 14 championship games this season, 10 goals. And since he's been back, it's 7 goals in, I think it's 10 games. So obviously a huge boost to have him back, and just how important has it been to have him back and scoring those goals?
Yeah, he's averaging a goal at the moment every 89 minutes. I think he's only completed 3 or 4 90s across the whole season. It's phenomenal, really, what he's been able to do. And I think the scary thing about it is, and I spoke to him after Norwich beat Cardiff at home, and he was essentially very open with the fact that he is not fully fit. He is managing this ankle issue that he's got even now, and it can be a bit day to day. So he can wake up one day and be in lots of pain and not be able to do much in terms of training, and he can wake up the next day and feel absolutely fine. So the reality is, it may well depend how he wakes up on Saturday morning, how he plays. But he's had a profound impact, and I think he's really interesting. And you look across the championship and you look at the goal scoring charts and all of those type of things, there isn't what I would classify as a typical number nine in there. I know Sunderland have had some issues with number nines across the season, but they're all kind of goal scoring wide players, and Adam Armstrong. He is very conventional. He's kind of a complete striker in that sense. Good in the air, good with his back to goal, good in the box, good finisher. He's really improved with his movement in behind as well. And this is kind of his first season playing as a nine. He's kind of played out wide for Norwich, largely because obviously Temu Buki was at the club. And whilst he was producing the goals and had the sort of credit in the bank that he did here, it was always going to be very difficult for someone to kind of unseat him, so to speak. So he's had to be a little bit patient. And I think you sense now that he's taking his opportunity. He is Norwich City's main threat. If you stop him scoring, particularly with John Rowe out as he is until April, then by and large, not completely, because they've got goals from other areas, but by and large, you stop a main source of their goals, I would say.
Yeah, you mentioned Johnny Rowe there as well. Player that I was going to come on to. He's Norwich's top scorer this season. He's out with a hamstring injury. He's going to be out for some time. So he's going to miss Saturday's match. But who are the other kind of key players in this Norwich side that Sunderland fans will have to watch out for?
Yeah, we spoke about Sargent. I think Borja Sainz, who plays on the left, he's a Spanish winger. He's been probably a little bit too inconsistent for my liking, but just capable of, you know, one moment of quality. And we've seen it in a couple of occasions, a couple of bounce passes. And he's put a shot in the top corner against Sheffield Wednesday more recently as well at home. So he's a player that can produce something from nothing, but he's a little bit fiery. So I think he's quite easy to wind up, and didn't have the best game, against against Blackburn at the weekend. Gabriel Sara is for me one of the league's best progressive midfielders. You look at kind of his chance creation statistics and his output as well. Again, he's come off a little bit of a, by his standards, a little bit of a barren run. He's not been too bad, and he's got a very high bar. I think David Wagner says he doesn't really drop below good. He can sometimes be very good, but he very rarely drops below good. And he's someone, again, that has real quality, both in terms of goals, but also in terms of chance creation as well. And then someone in really good form at the moment is Marcelino Nunez. A little bit of an injury doubt for this weekend. He limped out of their draw against Blackburn, scored a wonderful free kick in that game. But someone who plays a little bit deeper, and he's more of a kind of metronome almost. He keeps them ticking rather than someone who is sort of at the top end of the pitch creating opportunities. But again, he asserts or allows Norwich to assert real control within games, particularly when he drops between those two centre-backs and can kind of display the range of passing that he has. And he's, as I said, finds himself in a real purple patch at the moment, been a little bit up and down since joining Norwich from South America. So yeah, those are probably the primary names heading into this weekend, but some honourable mentions. Christian Fashnacht is very capable of scoring a goal. Ashley Barnes is in a good way at the moment as well. There are a lot of Norwich players. Jack Stacey is also in a good rhythm. There's a lot of Norwich players who are in a good stretch of form at this moment in time, just over the last few weeks. So I wish I could offer more kind of positivity from a Sunderland perspective, but this does feel like quite a poor time to play Norwich at this moment in time.
Yeah. Well, someone who hasn't been playing, that I'm sure Sunderland fans will be interested to know why, is Danny Bart, who was voted Sunderland's player of the season last season. He was happy to stay at Sunderland, but had a year left on his contract and was told that he would be allowed to leave the club. He then went to Norwich, who I think had some injuries at centre-back at the time, but he's only made 10 championship appearances. Only 4 of them have been starts. And then looking at the team sheet, seems like even when players are injured, Kenny McLean has dropped back into centre-back, who is seen as a midfield player. So why hasn't Bart been able to force his way into this Norwich side?
Yeah, and that's the exact question that a lot of Norwich fans have been wondering as well. Like you say, came with a pedigree of being, you know, player of the season in a side that were in the playoffs last season. There was a lot of excitement around him. I think that's probably fair to say. And obviously the mechanics of it, and you mapped it out there. Norwich lost Andrew Omadeli very, very late on deadline day to Nottingham Forest. They moved quickly to sign Danny Bart, who's a player that Stuart Webber had a knowledge and relationship with from their time together at Wolves. And yeah, it just, you see, when all of the options have been fit, Shane Duffy, Ben Gibson, Grant Hanley, Danny Bart, he's kind of been fourth choice in that sort of pecking order, really. But even then, I mean, and the last few weeks have documented, I mean, you kind of said it, Ben Gibson dropped out with an injury and they've preferred Kenny McLean in there because David Wagner likes to have a right, left kind of footed balance at the back in order to kind of help their build up and what they do on the ball. And then on the right side, even, you know, Grant Hanley's come back from what was a pretty major Achilles injury that kept him out basically from Easter last year till Christmas this year. So about 8 months, really, all told. And so they've had to manage him a little bit. He dropped out a couple of weeks ago and they put in Jakob Sørensen, who's kind of a defensive midfielder on the right side. Danny Bart was reduced onto the bench. We saw it again on Saturday. Hanley, again, because of this kind of management cycle that they're in with him, signaled that he wanted to come off. Sorensen was the one that they pulled from the bench instead of Danny Bart. So it's hard to say anything really other than David Wagner, for whatever reason, just doesn't seem to be having him. And I think there's probably factors in that. He was part, a very small part, but he was part of their poor run. I think there's maybe some concerns around distribution as well, and maybe even athleticism at points. They like to play with quite a high line when they can. But that being said, the options that they do have aren't rapid, and I wouldn't necessarily say that he's any slower than any of them. So, yeah, and to be honest, when he has played, he's done okay. So it is a head scratcher, really. And pretty damning on him. Obviously, his contract here is up at the end of the season. I think it's very difficult to see any kind of outcome now that would lead to that getting renewed, or to be frank, for him wanting it to be renewed. It just hasn't worked out. And it's a real shame, because when he joined the club, as I said, there was a lot of excitement's maybe a bit strong, but definitely a lot of respect towards him and what he'd achieved at Sunderland. And the fact that we haven't really seen him, I think, has been baffling throughout this season.
Yeah, certainly a very important player for Sunderland last season, as kind of proved by the fact that he was voted the fans' player of the season. So, it's strange to see that he hasn't kind of kicked on and been getting more game time at Norwich. But just on Sunderland, it's just interesting to kind of ask other people, other reporters from the outside looking in, kind of what have you made of their season? Have you seen much of this season aside from that game in October at the Stadium of Light?
Not huge amounts, to be completely honest. I actually, and I said this to someone else yesterday, but I came away from the Stadium of Light basically convinced that Sunderland would be a top six side because of the performance that they produced, because of the players that they had. I think even at that point, you could tell they were a little bit short in terms of a number nine, and that was obvious, but it didn't seem to matter that day against Norwich because they were excellent. And you know, from what I have seen and saw, particularly under Tony Mowbray, I was always really infused and excited to watch Sunderland play if they were ever on TV and there was an opportunity to watch them. There was that. And I really like what they've done with young players. And again, we could probably have a debate over whether, you know, Norwich have gone in one direction with it, whether they've gone too far in the other, you know, and you always need to find a balance. But I was a little bit surprised to see Mowbray leave in the fashion that he did, to see, you know, Mick Beale as the man who's parachuted in. That, I think even externally to me, that never really felt like a great fit, to be completely honest. And particularly after everything that had happened at Rangers and you know, the size of Sunderland Football Club. And it was clear from the initial reaction that the fans weren't having him. And as we've discussed in terms of Wagner, if that's kind of the mood and the feeling, it's hard to know where you go from there. So, yeah, I've always, you know, not, I wouldn't say I've got a soft spot or anything like that, but I've always enjoyed watching Sunderland and always enjoyed games against Sunderland and going to the Stadium of Light, even though it's quite a trek up the A1 and whatnot. But and obviously Norwich and Sunderland have a pre-existing relationship going back to the cup final all those years ago, and the friendly cup that the two sides play for every season. So yeah, it's I'm surprised. I will say, finally, I'm just surprised how much their season's kind of not told off, because he's still very much in it, and a win at Carrow Road would kind of put them back in the debate. But I expected them to be maybe where West Brom are at this moment in time after I left the stadium alight that day. And I don't know, you're in a better place than me, but it feels externally like a lot of that is through their own making, why perhaps they aren't there.
Yeah, it feels definitely like they've regressed from that game in October. Yeah. And thinking back to that game, I remember speaking to Dan Neil, the Sunderland midfielder, after the game, or it was maybe a few weeks after, and he was saying how much it felt like the side had progressed playing Norwich, because when they played Norwich at the Stadium of Lights the season before in their first game back, the first season back in the Championship, he said he found that really tough. He really felt the level had gone up, stepping up to the Championship, but then the way that they were able to get the better of Norwich at the Stadium of Light kind of showed to him that Sunderland were going in the right direction and they'd progressed a lot in 12 months' time, whereas now it seems like Sunderland have gone backwards and Norwich have improved under Wagner, as you say. So it is kind of interesting to see how the both sides have kind of gone since that game back in October. But we usually just finish, Connor, by just asking our guests for a quick score prediction. How do you think the game is going to go between Sunderland and Norwich on Saturday?
Yeah, it's hard to bet against Norwich at the moment, particularly at Carrow Road, which has been, you know, as outlined, a bit of a fortress for them, to be honest. And I think it is the place where even the players look at as the place where they need to take their points. I think this is going to be really tight. I could basically see 2-1 either way or a 1-1 draw. Obviously, I'm representing Norwich, so I'm going to swing that way and go for a 2-1 Norwich win. But as I said, I think it will be a very, as last year was, to be fair, I think it will be a very tight contest.
There are similarities with the game last year, because I think Sunderland were about 7 points off the playoffs, kind of around this stage of the season again. They're now 8 points off the playoffs and really need a win to kind of keep their season alive. And I think after that Norwich game, Sunderland maybe only lost one more game all season before getting into the playoffs. So it is a big game for them. They do have a kind of these kind of big matches where they have to pull out a result against the better teams. They can do it. They've shown that previously. But I think perhaps with the form that Norwich are in, it could be a step too far. So I'll go for a 2-1 Norwich win. But I think Sunderland have shown under Mike Dodds, under their interim manager, he said last week he's not afraid to make bold decisions to go and try and win the game. And Sunderland really do have to try and win the game if they've got really try and get their kind of playoff aspirations back on track. But I think Norwich might be too strong for them. But we'll see how it plays out on Saturday. So Connor, thanks a lot for joining me on the latest episode of the Raw podcast. And if you like what we do here at the Raw podcast, please consider subscribing on our YouTube channel, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and leave a review. And for all the latest SAFC news, you can head over to the SAFC section of the Sunderland Echo website. We'll have all the build up ahead of Saturday's match at Carrow Road, and we'll also have all live updates, analysis, and more from the game on Saturday, Sunderland take on Norwich. So once again, thanks a lot for listening to the Raw podcast.